All right, I have with me Faye Roberts. She's the founder and director of Orquesta Charangoa in Los Angeles, and she has a new record out, so we're going to talk about that. But I was talking earlier with her, and we realized it's been so long since we've, A, seen each other, but B, since we met and we recorded in Cuba. And when was it, January of 97, that we were first down in Cuba?
That was our first trip when we went on this study trip. And I remember we really connected because you were like, I don't have time to goof around. I'm here to study music. So, and I really admired that.
I'm the one who ends up getting married down there anyways. So then the interesting twist was we both went back in December of 97 and recorded some tracks for me with another singer in Los Angeles, which have not actually been released ever yet. They're just sitting in my archives. But that project involved Richard Agüez, who unfortunately passed on. But why don't you tell everybody what your connection with Richard was, since he was such a big icon in the charanga and cha-cha movement.
He was the flutist of Orquesta Aragon during that period when they were the most famous and popular all around the world. And he was the flute teacher when I went to the class at, on the first trip when we went on the study trip in January of 97. So, and luckily, I had some experience playing Cuban music, but and I had a lot of experience of learning and playing by ear. And that's basically how he taught. He'd play for us in the class and then kind of turn around and say, okay, play exactly what I played or something really close to what I just played. And my experience of having learned 100 Irish fiddle tunes by ear really came in handy. And he absolutely took me under his wing and gave me a bunch of music on the first trip and said, go home and start a group and keep my music alive. And when I went back on the second trip, I lived at his house and was there for 3 weeks and took lessons 5 days a week.
Yeah, and I remember, I'm not sure that it was planned that you'd record a couple of tunes on that, because I know Richard was doing arrangements for me and him and his brother Blas were playing, but it ended up that I'm pretty sure you played on at least two of the songs that we did.
I did, and I have that recording still.
I probably have it
somewhere. I have a copy of that.
Yeah. So, Dev, did you ever go back after that time or see him after?
Actually, once I got the band, Orquesta Charangoa, once I got the band kind of up and running and we started working, I was really working all the time, and I never really had a window, and it just wasn't the right time to go back for me.
Right, and unfortunately, he never got back here to the States, so.
Well, he did. One time before he passed away, I believe it was in, we can research this out, it was the year that Tito Puente died.
Oh, okay.
So it was either 2003 or 4. A group from Seattle worked it out for him to come. He came with his daughter Gladys. They went to New York and visited their relatives there. And then they flew to Seattle, and then they flew down to San Francisco. We tried so hard to put together something so he could come down to L.A., but we had a very short notice. The thing had already been set up. So I went up to San Francisco and attended all the things that he did up there.
Oh, okay, so you did get to see him. I saw him a few times just in my travels in Havana, but I never really saw him a whole bunch because he was always doing other things than I was doing.
He's very busy. When he was in San Francisco, I arranged to take him to Lens Crafters and get him a new pair of glasses. So that was really fun. There was people who recognized him at the Lens Crafters and went next door to a CD store and bought something that had Bodeghetto on it.
That's
and
funny.
Brought it back to Lens Crafters and had him sign it. There's a little bit of L.A. in the background there, the sirens.
Yeah,
and he was actually, at that point, he was legally blind. He just had, like, cataracts, and the thing is, since he wasn't really driving so much, it wasn't much of an issue, and I assure you, at that point, he was not driving at night.
Right.
You know.
That would be scary.
Yeah, he. When I saw him walking around at night, how he was functioning, because I teach blind people, I went, oh my gosh, now he's legally blind too. But he did. He had people around him helping him, and that didn't hold him back musically one bit.
Right.